Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strikeout, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, volleyball competes at the NCAA tournament, a perfect week for the basketball teams, and the indoor season gets underway for track and field. But we're going to start with football today. We knew the Red Wolves were going bowling for a third straight year, but this past Thursday, we learned the opponent and the destination. Coach Butch Jones and the Red Wolves will take on Missouri State next Thursday, December the 18th, at the inaugural Xbox Bowl. The game will be played at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, Texas. It's the 13th bowl game in the FBS era for the Red Wolves, but it's the first to be played inside the state of Texas. And here to talk about it with us, the executive director of the Xbox Bowl. Welcome in, Sean Johnson. How you doing, Sean?
We're doing great. Appreciate you having me on today, Matt.
Sean, he'll be the one when you get down there next week. He's the one, and they got several on their staff like this. Their business cards are 8.5 by 11 to get all their titles on there.
Well, let's go through that, Sean, because this is just really interesting, kind of what you're doing right now. You're already the executive director of the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl, which will be played on the 23rd in Frisco. Correct. So what's it like for you right now trying to get ready for two bowl games at once?
That's not a hard question. It's just imagine 400 people sending you emails two or three times a day, and how do you keep up with it? And then trying to manage phone calls and texts and everything else as it goes on too, because you've got four teams coming to town in the next 2 weeks, and everybody needs to take care of hundreds and or thousands of people. So it's like being an event director times 20. I mean, everybody tells me, what do you do all year? And I say, we do a lot of planning. Was I planning on having two bowl games? Not necessarily. We knew it might happen. We're happy to make it happen because we live for football. We love having college football teams here in Frisco, and it makes for a fun couple of weeks. It makes for a busy and a lot of work over a couple of weeks. But we typically do, I tell people we do about 16 events during each bowl week. We just doubled it to 32, and we'll make it all happen. We'll make our teams happy, I hope, and we'll try and keep everybody moving forward.
So this Xbox Bowl, as it's known now, and we'll talk about that process in a minute. You know, in the bowl lineup, it was the Bahamas Bowl. Talk us through a little bit, you know, timeline-wise. I mean, when did it get real that you guys would put on a second game?
Not sure how to answer that. I'd tell you it probably got real about 6 weeks ago when we knew we were working with a company like Xbox. We knew it could be a possibility because, you know, the license for the Bahamas Bowl is out there and it's done, and we're ready to take on a bowl game, and everybody's planning on having all the bowl games and needing 82 teams to get the bowl season filled. And they've had that game once in Charlotte, and they were just looking for a new home for it. We did that a couple years ago when they had a pop-up game because we had too many teams qualify for bowls. And you may remember, mm-hmm. we put on a thing called the Frisco Football Classic about 36 hours after our annual Frisco Bowl. So I guess when you're able to do things and do them well, they keep coming back to you.
It's an interesting process how all of this played out. And we're pleasantly surprised that the Red Wolves were part of the first bowl game that really was announced last week. It came out Thursday that it would be Arkansas State and Missouri State competing in the Xbox Bowl. So what was it about these two teams that made the Xbox Bowl a good fit?
Well, I think that goes to multiple different levels. We had a new game. We're typically, the Frisco Bowl and even the Xbox Bowl is a more of a group of five pool game. Most of your Power Four conferences play after the holidays. Here in Frisco, we've played prior to the holidays because we've typically hosted the FCS championship game in early January. So we're typically doing an early game. And I had already been working with the Dallas Cowboys group on the Frisco Bowl, and ESPN Events had asked me, well, can we do another date? We have to put another game somewhere. And so there was only about one or two other dates available, and the 18th was one of them. So that kind of made it happen. And then as they start looking at teams to put in it, you know, if we're a group of five pool, I always send them a list of teams that I think will draw well and be good for Frisco, good for the game, good for TV. And both of those teams were part of the group I sent to ESPN. So pleasantly surprised when I got both of them, because I know they're both drivable. They're both exciting programs. They play some high-scoring football many times, and that's what we like here in Frisco, Texas. And I know there's a lot of players from the DFW area and Texas in general on both teams. So that's one of the things I like about it. You're able to bring some kids home to play a football game in their home state or their hometown, and that makes for a real special time, I think, for the players. And that just gravitates to the rest of the team and the coaching staff as well.
Sean, I know internally as an athletic staff, we spent all, you know, the first half of the week last week being prepared for this to go all the way into Saturday night or possibly even Sunday before we knew for sure where we were headed. It was a pleasant surprise to come in Thursday morning and see this is where this was headed and it was about to come out. From your end, I mean, were you surprised that you were able to get the teams locked in and make an announcement that early in the week?
I wasn't surprised, but I needed it to happen as early as possible because we have a small staff here with our bowl game. Typically, we have a lot of help from our FC Dallas counterparts because we're part of their staff. And they're running all the ticketing and the field stuff and everything else we need. But since we're under renovation, we're at a new facility, and all of that stuff has got to be handled by somebody else, and somebody's got to coordinate that, and that ends up being me. So I needed, knowing I had four teams coming into town, I needed something to happen early. And we've been pushing to try and get the Xbox Bowl announcement out early, and it just kept having to be delayed and delayed, and it got delayed enough so we could announce the teams at the exact same time. So I think, in my mind, that's kind of the perfect scenario.
Yeah. I was going to say
it worked out better because I would have liked to have had it announced, you know, 6 weeks ago.
No, it was cool that our fans, and heck, I'd put us in this too, is that, you know, not only we get announced, but you got announced for a game that, to your point, you got announced for a game most people didn't know existed, but kind of interesting.
Exactly. And with an incredible international brand like Xbox, right at the right time of the year, you know, when it's Christmas time and college football bowl season, and you can actually go on and play the Xbox bowl game on the EA Sports game right now. They were able to get that done basically as of last Thursday. It went up, and I think people can actually go on and play this game before it ever happens, or utilize any teams you want to play in the bowl game on their Xbox and system for EA Sports. And, you know, I think that's one of the fun things being with a brand like that. They've got a lot of tentacles that reach out all over the place, and one of them was EA Sports. So they reached out to them knowing this was happening. And, you know, they're going to be very active with as much as we can be within like a 6 week period to try and pull all kinds of stuff together. They're going to have a lot of their Xbox characters at the game and at our fan fest area. So people who are big fans are going to get to see a lot of the characters that they're used to playing on their game. So it's going to be pretty exciting and pretty new. And we hope we make them happy, and we hope they be part of college football for many years to come.
Something else that's really exciting here is just the venue itself, playing at the Ford Center, at the Star, where the Dallas Cowboys practice every single day. And to be able to play in such a unique venue, yes, it's the Cowboys practice facility, but it's indoors. The capacity is 12,000 seats, and I imagine it's going to fill up in there, and it's going to get really loud, and it's going to make for a really, really good college football environment.
No doubt about it. And you hit just about every little item on the head there. When we knew we were going under renovation here, the key thing to me was I need to keep the Frisco Bowl in Frisco. How can I do that? We typically have a Tuesday or a Thursday night game, maybe even Wednesday night here and there. So we're a midweek game. That kind of limits your crowds a little bit. A lot of people have more trouble traveling right before the Christmas holiday during the midweek because they still need to work to earn those paychecks to pay off all their Christmas toys they want to buy. So it's kind of right-sized for our night more than anything else. Definitely going to be loud in there. It doesn't take a lot of bodies in there to get it loud. And I know we've got two huge bands, 200, 300 person bands that are going to be in there. And I think it'll be quite the scene because, as I said in my advertising, it's an intimate setting. Part of what makes it intimate is you're very close to the field no matter where you're sitting. Most people don't believe it holds 12,000 in there, but it does. It'll be a fun environment. We hope it's a very close game. I know Arkansas State fans probably don't want that, but you know, I hope it goes down to the last play or two of the game.
Oh,
which is something
will.
That Arkansas State is used to.
Yeah,
we've gone down to the last play three straight games now, so Arkansas State fans have come to expect that by now.
That makes for great TV, too, so that's a good thing. But, you know, it should be fun. It's a great environment. It's going to be a fun fan fest before it, and I think that just lends into the game. You're kind of the only college football game on TV that night. So you kind of own the college football audience. And it's a chance for both the teams to continue to elevate themselves and rise within the college football world and show what they're all about. Because I know they're both very good because they had a lot of Texas players on them. And if there's one place that knows football, it's Texas. But there's quite a few from each team on there. So I think a lot of the because you're so close to each other as well, it's almost a shame you have to drive 7 hours south to play the game. But it'll be fun. And being in the Cowboys place, who knows who might show up. They're practicing there. They're practicing the day of the game. We'll walk in there after they're done and get ready for our game at 8 o'clock that night.
When our fans show up at these bowl games, obviously they want to know about the other events. You talked about the Fan Fest. That's happening right before the game, but what are some of the other bowl week activities kind of leading up to the game that you want the fans to know about?
Yeah, I mean, most of the stuff we have is probably a little more private than being more fan-oriented. Because we're a midweek game, that probably impacts us a little bit on that perspective. But the players will have some fun opportunities with some dinners a couple of nights. We do a fun event between the two teams, a joint team dinner, the second night they're here at the soccer stadium. So everybody will get to see what's going on with our renovation. But we try and get the juices flowing with a little family feud programming during that dinner. I can tell you, we've never had a year where it wasn't competitive. Every team wants to win. And then the next day, we take them to a place called the Foaling Warehouse. And I'm not sure if you know what foaling is or not, but it's football bowling. And you might think guys that play football can get very good at it, but it's not that easy. And it's a sport that kind of grew out of the Midwest and has germinated down here to the Plano, Frisco area. And so we take our teams there and we have a little competition at that venue as well. And that one can get extremely competitive. So by the time we're midway through the week, we already got the guys about as competitive as they can get before they jump into a game with somebody. So it's pretty fun. Like I said, the fan fest that we'll do, we'll have the bands come by and play there. We're working with the teams on, you know, alumni and fan tailgating or parties that might be going on. The Star is just the place to be. You know, it's a community area. The Cowboys have built out just a marvelous come-together place where there's people down there eating every night. There's people down there having fun times. We're doing stuff for players' wives while they're here, the coaches' kids while they're here. So there's a variety of things that happen during bowl week, and we try and make it just maybe not a nonstop thing, but, you know, it's we try and keep moving, give them a little bit more time off as we get close to the game just to focus in on the big task at hand and being able to win. But it's going to be a great setting. The Xbox people are coming in full force, trying to make this as big a deal as they can. And, you know, we're excited to show off the venue on game night. And hopefully it's just an unbelievable college football game that everybody's going to be talking about for years.
Hey, Sean, I just wanted kind of for you to let the Arkansas State people hear about sort of what the vibe's been like on the other side, because A-State and Missouri State separated by about 4 hours. They're actually going to start a home-and-home in 2027. But this is their first year in FBS, and they went through most of it thinking they couldn't get to a bowl game. So I would imagine the excitement level from the people you've been dealing with in Springfield has been pretty high.
No doubt about it. Very excited. They're trying to do everything they can. They know it's their first time ever, so they want to, build it up as big as they can, get as big a crowd as they can down here, bring in their whole band. I mean, it should be a scene when they get down here. As I'm a very traditional kind of college football guy, I like to let the bands take over as we get into the game and not do so much commercialization of it. There's enough of those during the timeout break. So when we're in the stadium, it'll be a lot of fun and a lot of the bands going back and forth. It's going to be a fun time. I think anybody who comes down for it's going to have a good time. And I know the Missouri State people and both teams have been doing well with ticket sales. So that's an encouraging thing. And I think if people have the time to get down here for a couple of days, Frisco has set itself up as kind of what they want to say, Sports City USA. There's a lot of different things going on here. There's tons of activities going on. You've got the Main Street lighting show that goes on right across the street from our current stadium. You've got another holiday deal close to one of our team hotels. Everything going on at the Star. They've got the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader shows there a couple times a week. So it's a destination. Nothing like Dallas area for good shopping too. So most people know that already. So it's a fun sports town. It's a fun place to be. And we hope to entertain a lot of your fans down here for that. And hopefully we're not the last time they come down to Texas.
Well, Sean, we cannot wait to get down there. I know our fan base is extremely fired up to get to Frisco next week. And man, we know you're extremely busy. Thanks for taking time to hang out with us today.
You bet. I appreciate you reaching out and sharing our story, and look forward to meeting you here next week and hopefully having a great time while you're here.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And we welcome you back into the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Let's talk volleyball.
Yeah.
Brian Gerwig's team competed in the NCAA tournament.
You used the right word there.
This past week. Yeah, really proud of those girls and just the kind of effort they showed against a really good Baylor team. They were in West Lafayette, Indiana. It was the sixth appearance all time for A-State volleyball in the NCAA tournament. Came up just short in five sets. What an exciting match it was. The Red Wolves won the first set, dropped the second, and then the third set. My goodness. 30-28, Baylor.
Yeah, that's a biggie there. When you go past 25, I mean, anybody could win it, and both teams had their chances. In fact, I mean, we served a set point four times in that third set, and they just kept finding a way to turn it away, and eventually, got that little push to end it. But yeah, and it bounced right back and
won the fourth.
Won the fourth. Yep.
Baylor wins the fifth set though, 15-10, and the season ends with a record of 22-9. What a run for the volleyball Red Wolves. What an amazing job Coach Gerwig has done in such a short amount of time.
And I know they're not after or have any interest in kind of getting a atta girl or a participation trophy. They went with full intentions. They were going to beat Baylor and be the first team to win a match in the NCAA tournament.
Came close.
Yeah, I don't blame them for thinking that the way they played. Baylor knew they had their hands full. I thought the most – one-sided set, and there wasn't one. They just went at it the whole time. But if there was a one-sided set, it was the first set. We came out and hit them in the mouth. Now, 4 points in, they hit us in the nose, literally, and it caused a little bit of a delay. But we came right back, and, I mean, it really took it to them in that first set. And I think Baylor knew anyway, but after that, they knew for sure that they were in for a long afternoon, win or lose.
Do want to mention football. Obviously, we've been – talking about the bowl game and excited about the Red Wolves taking on Missouri State coming up on December the 18th. And thanks again to Sean Johnson for walking us through a lot of the bowl week activities. I feel a whole lot more educated after listening to him go through that.
Well, it was interesting. I mean, I did it too, right? So Yeah, we'll go behind the curtain here.
Sure.
I guess the buzz that this may be where this could go started late Wednesday. Late enough Wednesday that I was already over at the arena getting ready to call a women's basketball game. So I'd not really heard much about it. And get in there on Thursday, and there's documents kind of flying around, and one of them said the Red Wolves are going to be in Frisco December 18th at 8 o'clock. And I went to the person that made the document. I said, hey, you got that date wrong.
Yeah.
The game in Frisco's on the 23rd. And they're like, it's not that game. It's so like, you know,
I did the same thing. I assumed it was on the 23rd.
And so it was interesting to watch how quickly this came together. And I don't think Sean would mind me telling you, because again, you know, they were working, finishing the deal with a great corporate partner in Xbox, and that I don't think the logo to the game had been finalized yet. There was still some of the stuff they were still working through. They were having to do so much stuff on the, you know, on the fly in real time almost, and then still turned around and got that thing ready to announce by noon. I tip my hat to them.
When the Red Wolves go to Frisco, they'll do so with 10 all-conference honorees. The all-conference selections came out this past week. First team selections included defensive end DeMarcus Hendricks and kickoff returner Chauncey Cobb. Chauncey's one of four kickoff returners in the country that had multiple kickoff returns for scores this year, so he's certainly deserving of first-team all-conference. Second-team selections were Corey Rucker and Cody Sigler, although I think anybody would take Corey Rucker and Cody Sigler to lead their teams any day.
No kidding.
And then on the third team, Chauncey Cobb again was named, this time as an all-purpose selection. He was top 15 in the country in reception, so certainly deserving of that. Ethan Hassler also named to the third team. We had Ethan a few weeks ago in on this podcast. He's been fantastic all year at defensive end. In fact, he and DeMarcus Hendricks, their numbers are nearly identical, especially when it comes to the sacks and tackles for a loss. And then honorable mention selections, cornerback Avante Dickerson, safety A.G. McGee, Simeon Mitchell, has done a great job at defensive tackle, and then linebacker Kyle Taylor. So congratulations to all those all-conference honorees for the Red Wolves. But now they're getting ready for the Xbox Bowl coming up next Thursday, December 18th, kickoff at 8 o'clock at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, Texas.
That's CavanaughCars.com. Trucks, cars to see, and SUVs. All types are there, rides everywhere. New and pre-owned, they're sure to own.
Just shop online, there you will find your perfect match is always at
all types are there, rides everywhere. New and pre-owned, they're sure to own.
Baby, they are Chevy and Lord. Hyundai, Kia, Ford, all you can afford. CavanaughCars.com.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Men's basketball had a couple of really nice victories last week. Was kind of concerned going into the UTA game on Tuesday. UTA had gotten off to a really good start. They were 5-2 to begin the season, and they were coming off a really nice win over Stephen F. Austin the game before. A Stephen F. Austin team that the Red Wolves had lost to back in the first week of the season. But, man, the Red Wolves just dominated UTA 83-63, the final in that one, to wrap up a perfect 3-0 homestand. Red Wolves led by 18 at the half, again, won by 20. And one thing about UTA was they were top 15 in the nation in rebounding margin. They were out-rebounding their opponents by 12.5 a game. But A-State out-rebounded them, out-rebounded the Mavs by 4, which kind of tells you just how good this Red Wolves team is on the glass.
Yeah, this was, especially over the last 25 or so minutes, felt like a pretty one-sided game. Late push there to close the half, and then really didn't let them make a big run. This was a better win than the Red Wolves made it look like.
Yeah, just the effort on the defensive end of the floor was what really was most impressive. I thought they played great defense all night long, and Ryan Pannone certainly echoed that. Jalen Hampton had a good performance. He had a season-high 19 points, 8 rebounds in the win. After a 3-game homestand, the Red Wolves then went on the road, played their first of 4 straight on the road this past Saturday as they traveled down to the Stevens Center in Little Rock. They were having their 20th anniversary celebration of the Stevens Center on Saturday, and they did so with an all-in-state doubleheader. Their women actually played in the first half of the doubleheader, and they played UCA. And then it was A-State and Little Rock in men's action in the second half of the doubleheader. Probably would have had better attendance had the men's game not started at 8:30 on Saturday night.
It looked like good seats might have still been available.
Yeah, and it was sad. I was telling you even before we started recording, I'm used to that place being packed for A-State and Little Rock and having so many fans for both sides in Central Arkansas show up. I mean, there's been plenty of games where it felt like an A-State home game at the Stevens Center, and we had a good contingent there, but definitely the lightest crowd we've ever seen for an A-State Little Rock game, especially at the Stevens Center. So that didn't deter the Red Wolves from putting together a great performance, though, because they came out, they trailed 3-2. That was the only time they trailed all night long. Went on to win it 90-78. Red Wolves dominated on the glass, 42-24. TJ Caldwell is really fun to watch. He finished with 19 points, 3 blocks. He had a highlight reel dunk right down the middle of the lane in the second half. Freddie Salam-Silla, a guy who's had a couple of DNPs this year, got a chance to start the other night. He had a season-high 16 points. And Jalen Hampton, we mentioned that his performance against UTA, 8 points and a season-high 13 rebounds. So a lot of good individual performances, but I thought it was good all the way around for the Red Wolves on Saturday. They improved to 7-3.
Yeah, I think Coach Pinnone is, you know, he should always have the ability to make sure those players know nobody's spot or their time or their place in rotation or minutes is etched in stone. He could pretty much go draw the starting lineup out of a hat in the locker room before they come out and feel like he's going to put a good unit out there.
Well, he made a statement the other night because he went with an entirely different starting five, and it was completely based on the effort he had seen in practice the day before. He didn't care that we were on a 3-game win streak. He cared about getting the effort he wanted to see. He told me before the game, and then he said it in this post-game interview with me after the game. This was based off performance in practice and effort in practice. So, yeah, he went with an entirely different starting five, and believe me, that message gets across.
Yeah. I mean, because, again, you attribute to their depth. You can't get fat and happy, right? I mean, so good for him. And this was one of those games where, like, this was a weird game to watch because – yeah, we were shooting at a good percentage. Seemed like we were getting every rebound. Yet, they just kind of kept hanging around. It honestly set up one of those games where they come in, take their first lead with about a minute and a half to go and win. And we just hit enough shots and made enough stops to keep that from happening because they had two guys just go berserk and between the two of them keep them in it.
Yeah, those two guys combined for 63 of their 78 points. And they played out of their minds. And credit to them because they kept them in the ball game. But a really good performance for our guys. They've won 4 in a row, and they'll try to keep it going this Saturday when they travel to Rice. And that's the final tune-up before conference play begins next Wednesday at Texas State. Let's talk about the women. A couple of more wins for Destiny Rogers' team. They beat Florida Gulf Coast back on Wednesday, 68-58, a game in which they outscored them 19-8 in the fourth quarter. And Chrislyn Rose, with a big performance, finished with 22 points.
When she had 2 points at halftime on 1 of 4 shooting from the floor and finished with 22.
Turned it on.
And went 4 for 4 from the three-point line in the second half. And kid's really good. And I don't know. I got a feeling a lot of our fans, and I don't even mean the whole thing about who's seen them and who hasn't. I think even if you've just sort of casually watched them, I don't think you get how good Chrislyn Rose is. She can flat take over a game if that's what the situation calls for. And Wednesday night, it's sort of what the situation called for. And she went out and, you know, had a monster second half and got them a win.
After that win, they went out Saturday and defeated Tennessee Martin 78-66. This was a game in which the Red Wolves led by as many as 29 in the second half.
In the fourth quarter.
Winner Rogers with a really good performance. She had 17 points and 8 rebounds. The women have now won 5 in a row. They're 7-3 on the season, and Cade Carlton gave me this stat. First time the men and women have both been 7-3 or better in the same season since 2003.
Going back 22 years. Is that 0203?
I don't know. He said 03.
I'm about to check. I'd be interested in seeing which one that is. I know in 03, 04, that was my first season calling women's basketball, and they started 8-2. And that's the only team kind of in the 2000s that's got has had a better 10-game record than this one.
Okay.
But, yeah, listen, you know, the UT-Martin game, again, I'll give UT Martin some credit here because they had every right to lose by 30 or 35 if they wanted to. And they got hot and started throwing in some shots in the fourth quarter. And they never got closer than 12. And there was never a point in time I didn't think Arkansas State was going to win the game. But UT Martin, they came in here wanting to play, really trying to play seven kids. And this A-State team, they ain't the bunch to try to play seven players against.
They're going to wear you down. Which makes it impressive, though, they were still able to make that late run.
It is. I do tip my hat to them, you know, that they got some stops. And I do think, you know, I'll be honest with you, I think A-State got a little loosey-goosey there for a stretch and kind of helped fuel that along a little bit. Then they had a kid start hitting some shots. And yeah, they've got Kinley McCarnes, one of my favorite players. You know, got to watch her play at Melbourne in her high school career, and it's fun to watch her compete. And you just watch what they do to teams, and especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, I'll put it like this. In the TV broadcast, when I'm doing ESPN Plus at home, there are a lot of times that we never put the starting five graphic on the screen because they're out of the game before you can get it up there. And that's the truth. And now they added another one. You know, they got Peyton Fields on the floor for the first time this week. She had missed the first eight games of the year. She scored double figures in the game Saturday, just her second game getting to play with them. They played 12 players Saturday in the first half. I know there's a lot of conversation coming out of that game Saturday about, you know, what Dez said in the post game and trying to implore fans to come watch them. I'm just telling you, if you haven't, they conduct business almost unlike you've seen anybody else try to conduct business. It's literally five new ones in every 2 minutes, almost no matter what. They're pressing you from the tip, no matter what. Florida Gulf Coast, their coach had a quote in their game notes saying, "We know they're going to press us when we get off the bus." And that's just about the truth. They're fun to watch. They really rattle teams. No less of an authority than Van Wilhoit, Arkansas State superfan.
Yes.
Went on his own social media, and this was a cool little stat too, and I have zero problems quoting it because I think it's dead on the money, is that through these 10 games here, A-State's opponents are averaging 10 more turnovers per game than they are in every other game against anybody other than A-State.
Oh, wow. That's a heck of a stat. I believe it.
I believe it.
Yeah. Especially when you're, what, top three in the nation in forced turnovers.
Yeah.
So the women playing some really good ball, and they definitely are worth checking out. I do want to mention track and field. They started the indoor season this past weekend. Athletes competed at events in both Boston and Nashville. Our buddy Colby Eddowes won the 60-meter hurdles. Menachem Chen claimed a shot put title. So no surprises there. Those are two very familiar names for the track teams.
Usual suspects.
Anything else we need to mention here? I know we covered a lot.
No, I mean, the women, depending on when you're listening to this, you know, the women have a home game on Tuesday night, their last non-conference home game. Southern Arkansas coming up here. And then they'll actually have a couple of games, week of the bowl, first two conference games. Monroe in here the night before the bowl game and then back at it that weekend after. So conference play is here. Yeah, I know we can talk about it next week some too, but you know, you're going to be in San Marcos the night before the game in Frisco for the A-State men and Texas State. I suspect you might see some folks in scarlet and black at that game who will just go up to Frisco from San Marcos.
Yeah, it's not a short trip, but it's certainly worth checking out this men's team on the road. And I know I've got some folks from my traveling party that plan on going down with me as well. So I think it ought to be fun seeing not one, but two different Red Wolves teams in Texas next week.
Well, I think, you know, especially if you have the luxury of flying down there, you know, you can just fly to Austin or San Antonio, whichever one floats your boat, get your rental car.
Yeah.
Watch the basketball game, head up to Frisco Thursday with the football game. I've got your whole week planned out.
Yeah, call the Bobo Travel Agency for more details on that.
I'll connect you with Van Province.
Thanks to Sean Johnson, executive director of not only the Xbox Bowl, but the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl, for joining us. Man, I can't imagine what his next couple of weeks are going to be like, but appreciate him carving out 20 minutes to visit with us. Can't wait to be in Frisco next week for the Xbox Bowl. We'll talk more about it next week on our next edition of the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and First National Bank.